بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، we thank Almighty Allah who in His infinite mercy has made it possible for us to continue our study in this book titled Umdat al-Ahkam of Al-Hafiz Abdul Ghani Al-Maqdisi. Today is the 21st of the month of Rajab, 1442, equivalent to the 5th of March 2021. Inshallah, we shall continue from where we stopped. In our last lesson, we discussed a hadith concerning the supplication that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite after reciting the tashahhud. There are various types of supplications. We mentioned them and we discussed their meaning. And today, inshallah, we'll start from Babu al-Wikir. Here's the chapter we're going to start. Babu al-Wikir. Al-Wikir, the word al-Wikir literally means odd number. Okay? Al-Wikir means odd. Or one, something that is just one. Okay, but here it means the night prayer. Okay, it means the night prayer. This is because the witr is supposed to be the last prayer of the night. So the ahadith we are going to be reading under this chapter are ahadith talking about how to observe the night prayer. How does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to observe the night prayer? The first hadith is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, narrated from Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with them, him and his father. Qala, he said, سأل رجل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو على المنبر. That a man asked the Prophet while the Prophet was on the pulpit. He was on the pulpit in the mosque delivering a sermon to the people. This sermon here has not been specified. It could be the Jumu'ah sermon, it could be any other sermon. On several occasions, whenever the Prophet has something important to tell his companions, he will usually mount the pulpit and he will address them. So it's not, it may be the Jumu'ah sermon, it may be another sermon. The most important thing was that this man came to ask the Prophet this question while the Prophet was on the pulpit delivering a talk to the companions. So the man asked the Prophet, what did he say to the Prophet? He said, Ma tara fi salati al-layl. He asked the Prophet, what do you see concerning the night prayer? It's like asking the Prophet, how do you observe the night prayer? How am I supposed to observe the night prayer? Qala, the Prophet now replied, the Prophet said, Masna, masna, two, two. Okay, meaning after every two rakats, you do the tashahhud and you say salam. That's the meaning of the statement of the Prophet, masna, masna, two, two. Okay, so when you are praying in the night, you don't pray four rakats at a stretch. Okay, you pray two rakats, you say salam. Then you add another two rakats, you say salam. Then you add another two rakats, like that. Okay, so the Prophet says, masna, masna, two, two. He now said, فَإِذَا خَشِعَ أَحَدُكُمْ الصُّبْحَ. He says, if one of you fears the dawn, the subh, the fajr, okay, meaning as you are praying, you fear that the fajr is about to come up, because the time for the night prayer is after the Isha'i prayer till the coming out of the fajr. As soon as the fajr comes out, then the period for the night prayer has elapsed. So if, as you are praying, you now fear that it's almost time for the project to come out, what do you do? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then in that case, you should pray one rakah. فَأَوْتَرَتْ لَهُ مَا صَلَّى which will serve as witri for what you have prayed. Alright, so this last rakah will serve as witri for the previous rakah that you have prayed. وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ يَقُولُ because also narrated that the Prophet used to say, اِجْعَلُوا آخِرَ صَلَاتِكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وِتْرًا make your last prayer for the night to be the witri. Alright, your last prayer for the night should be what? Be with you. That's the end of the hadith. Now there are several lessons to learn in these hadith. The first is how to observe the night prayer. Okay? The night prayer is observed by praying two rakat. Okay? You don't pray four rakat at a stretch. You are supposed to pray two rakat, you say salam, two rakat, you say salam, two rakat, you say salam. Okay? Then, it also shows that you are supposed to do the witr after observing the other rakat. Okay? This is what this hadith is indicating. That you observe the witr after you have observed other rakat. And that's why there is a difference of opinion among scholars concerning is it permissible for you to pray with it alone without preceding it with any shafi'i? Do you understand my question? A person wants to pray with it after a shafi'i, for example, if I want to pray with it, just stand up and pray just one rakah. Is it permissible like that or not? In our school of thought, the Malikiya school of thought, Imam Malik was of the opinion that one does not pray witr by just one rakat alone. Okay? And his argument, the basis of his argument is this hadith. The Prophet said, صَلَّى وَاحِدَةً فَأَوْتَرَتْ لَهُ مَا صَلَّى that you should pray one rakat which will serve as witr for what you have previously prayed. So if you have not prayed anything, it means you cannot pray with you. That is the understanding of Imam Malik. Okay? He said, if you just stand up and pray, then this prayer, this rakah, this one rakah is with you to what? There's nothing. And the Prophet said, أَوْتَرَتْ لَهُ مَا فَدِسَلَّهُ okay? So to him, you don't pray with him with just one rakah. It has to be more than one rakah. While the Hanabila school of thought, okay, and indeed the remaining school of thought generally, they are of the opinion, especially the Hanabila, they have the opinion that it is permissible to observe witr with just one rakah. They base their argument on the hadith of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, that's another hadith of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, when he narrated that the Prophet said, Man ahabba an yutra di khamsin fal yaf'al. Brother, whoever wants to observe witr with five rakah, let him do it. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يُتْرَ بِصَلَاةٍ فَلْيَفْعَلْ and whoever wants to observe witr with three rakat, it is permissible, let him do it. He now said, وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يُتْرَ بِوَاحِدَةٍ فَلْيَفْعَلْ so I said, whoever wants to pray witr with just one rakat, let him go ahead and do it. So based on this hadith, Imam Ahmad says it is permissible to observe witr with just one rakat. Do we understand? Those other scholars, especially the Maliki school of thought, who do not agree, they are of the view that this hadith is mawkul. Alright, that's what we call mawkul in the science of hadith. That is a hadith that the chain of narration does not extend to the Prophet, but stops at a companion. Okay? So they are of the opinion that this hadith is mawkul, it is not mawkul. Okay? Its chain of narration does not extend to the Prophet. And if that is the case, to them, this is not a prophetic statement. This is an opinion of a companion. It becomes an opinion of a companion. So based on that, they stick to this statement of the Prophet that says that what? Your witr should be for a, some number of rak'ahs that you have done before. Okay, so based on that, you cannot do a witr with one rak'ah. While the Hanabila of the Prophet, you can do with one rak'ah. Allahu Akbar. Another thing that this hadith is indicating is the fact that many scholars use this hadith to say that the night prayer has no specific number. Do you understand? That it has no limit. You can pray as many raka'at as you want. Why? Because the Prophet said, he said what? Masna, masna. Two raka'at. He now said, فَإِذَا خَشِيَ أَحَدُكُمْ الصُّبْحَ. That means, supposing you start praying the night prayer around 10, and he's now saying that if you hear the subh, two raka'at, how many raka'at will you have prayed between 10 to 5 o'clock that we're going to, that 5 or 5 30 that subh will come? Because that means you have prayed several raka'at, isn't it? So as far as they are concerned, this hadith shows that there is no limit to the number of raka'at that one can pray at night. Okay? Because the Prophet left it open. Two. Continue like that till you get tired. Or till Fajr is about to come out, then you should end it with one witr, one rak'ah to serve as witr for you. Having said that, there are other ahadith that indicate that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to observe witr, you know, in another way, different from what is stated in this hadith. Because this hadith is saying that what, when you wake up to pray the night prayer, you say what? Two, you say salam. However, it is also permissible to do witr with three raka'at. Alright? You observe three raka'at without saying salam except what? In the last raka'at. Do you understand? Except in the last raka'at. Tashahud. Alright, three raka'at at a stretch. You will not sit down except what? In the last raka'at. You say salam. This is permissible. It is also permissible. So narrated, the Prophet also prayed with it with five raka'at. Five at a stretch as well. Okay? Without sitting down except in the last raka'at. Do you get it? It was also narrated that the Prophet prayed seven raka'at. You understand? Seven raka'at at a stretch, he will not deny except in the seventh one. Then it was also narrated that he prayed nine raka'at. In the case of nine raka'at, it was narrated that he prayed eight raka'at at a stretch. He sat down in the eighth raka'at. You understand? Alright? He sat down in the eighth raka'at, then before rising up and adding the ninth raka'at. Do we understand? No, it was narrated that he prayed like that. So he sat down in the eighth raka'at, but he did not say salam. Okay, he stood up to the ninth one, then before saying salam. Then it was also narrated that he prayed 11 raka'at. Okay, he prayed 11 raka'at. It was narrated that he prayed, we're going to come to that hadith of Aisha, where she explained how the Prophet prayed 11 raka'at. The same Aisha also narrated that the Prophet prayed 13 raka'at. Okay? So these were the ones that were narrated from the Prophet. We understand. But the one that he does most frequently is the 11 raka'at. And that is the meaning of the hadith of Aisha, where she said that the Prophet did not used to pray more than 11 raka'at. What she meant by that is that that is one that he does most frequently. Otherwise, she herself narrated that he prayed 13 raka'at. You understand? So if she's saying that he does not used to pray more than 11 raka'at, how come she's now saying that he prayed 13 raka'at? That's more than 11, isn't it? And that's what scholars are saying, that the meaning of her statement, that the Prophet does not used to exceed 11, the meaning is that that is the one he does most frequently. You understand? However, the companions were narrated, it was narrated that the companions prayed more than that. During the time of Umar ibn Khattab, he gathered the companions under the leadership of Umar ibn Khattab, and they prayed Taraweeh prayer with 23 rak'ah. They prayed 20 rak'ah before they now prayed 3 rak'ah of witr. That makes it 23. You You understand? So the general understanding among the companions is that it is permissible to exceed 11 rak'ah. Do we understand? No. Then the hadith finally shows that your witr should be the last prayer. But for said, إِذَا أَلُوْ آخِرَ صَلَاتِكُمْ بِلَيْنْ وِتْرًا. Alright, so the witr should be the last prayer. And that was why in my last class, somebody asked this question and I tried to explain here that in case you pray witr after Isha prayer, alright, and you wake up at night to pray tahajjud, okay, you don't need to pray witr again. Okay, you don't need to pray witr. You just pray the number of rak'ah that you can do, 2, 2, 2, 2, and when you finish, that's all. Okay, but if you are very sure that you are going to wake up, you have someone that's going to wake you up, or you have set your alarm, then it's better not to pray the witr now. You delay it to after praying your tahajjud. Then you now pray the witr. In any case, the Prophet has prohibited us from observing 2 witrs in the night. All right, there should be no 2 witrs in the night, and the witr should always be the last prayer of the night. Allahu Akbar. The next hadith. And Aisha رضي الله عنها قال, Aisha narrated, may Allah be pleased with her, she said, من كل الليل قد أوتر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, said, from every part of the night, the Prophet observed witr. من أول الليل, he observed witr at the beginning of the night. وأوتره, and he observed witr at the middle of the night. وآخره, and there were other cases, other situations where he observed witr at the end, at the later part of the night. She said, فَانْتَهَا وِتْرُهُ إِلَى السَّحَرِ. So he ended his witr to the time of suhoor. Then we take the suhoor food. Right, that is the down. Okay? So this hadith shows that it is permissible to observe the tahajjud, or the night prayer, or the witr at any time of the night. It can be at the beginning of the night, meaning you start immediately after the Isha prayer. Okay, you pray the number of rak'ahs, you can pray, and when you are done, that's all. Or you delay to the middle of the night. Alright, you wake up, let's say, 1 o'clock in the night, you pray. Or you delay it to the last third part, alright, of the night. That is, you wake up, let's say, around 3:30, 4, and you pray till the time of Fajr. Okay, so whichever one does, it is permissible. It's permissible. One should do whichever one will be easy for him or her. No. Then the next hadith, she said, "An Aisha radiallahu anha qalat." Aisha also narrated. She said, "Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam yusalli min al-layli 13 raka'atan." This is the hadith I was talking about a while ago. Alright, she said the Prophet used to pray in the night 13 rak'ah. He used to pray 13 rak'ah. يُوْتِرُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ بِخَمْسِينِ. Alright, he will observe witr from this 13, he will observe witr with 5 rak'ah. لَا يَجْلِسُ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا فِي آخِرِهَا. He will not sit down in it, in this last 5 rak'ah, except what? At the last rak'ah of it. Okay, so how does he do this? 11 rak'ah. 5 is witr. 11 minus 5 will give you what? Will give you 6. Give you 6. So that means when the Prophet starts the prayer, he starts with 2 rak'ah. 2 rak'ah, you sit down, say salam, bring another 2 rak'ah, sit down, say salam, bring the third 2 rak'ah, say salam, that's 6, isn't it? Then you will now stand up and pray 5 rak'ah at the stretch, okay, without sitting down till the last rak'ah. Do we understand it? 6, making 11. Alright, making 11. But here she's talking about 13 rak'ah, isn't it? So that would mean that he prays 8 rak'ah. Alright, 2, 2, 2, 2, 4 times. That will give you 8, isn't it? Then the last 5 will now be the witr. Will now pray 5 at the stretch. So that will give you 13 rak'ah. Do we understand? So that's what this hadith is talking about. Now, so it is permissible, like I said, to go beyond 11 rak'ah, as Aisha narrated herself. So that's about the night prayer. The next chapter is Bab Zikr Aqd Salah. Alright, this chapter is going to talk about the azkar that you recite after the salah. After you say salam in your salah. So, an Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with them, narrated, Anna Raf'a Sawti bi Zikri, that raising the voice with the zikr, Hina yansarifu nasu min al maktuba, when people finish praying the obligatory prayer, kana ala ahdi Rasulullah SAW, this kind of practice was done during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? What he's saying is that it is not new, it's not an innovation. Raising the voice with the zikr, with the azkar, after the salat, after the obligatory salat, was a practice that was done during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when you say salam, alright, it's permissible to raise your voice. He's saying, Astaghfirullah, 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 Allahumma anta salam, alayka salam, tabarakta ya rajul ikram, to the end of the azkar. Raising your voice with it. Okay? This was something that the companions did during the time of the Prophet. Okay? Whenever a Sahabi narrates a hadith and says that we used to do this during the time of the Prophet, that hadith indicates a silent approval from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? Because if it was prohibited, the Prophet will have stopped them from doing it. You get it. So whenever you see any hadith, the companion say, we used to do this during the Prophet, what he's trying to say is that it is permissible. The Prophet knew about it and he did not stop it. Or even if the Prophet was not aware, revelation was still coming down. Alright, Allah will have revealed to the Prophet that your companions are doing something that is prohibited. So if Allah did not reveal any revelation to prohibit it, and the Prophet did not prohibit it, then it becomes permissible in Islam. So it's permissible to raise the voice with the azkar after salah. Qala Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas also said, Kuntu a'lamu idhan sarafu bidhalika idha sami'tu. He said, I used to know, okay, I used to know that they have finished the prayers whenever I hear them doing this askar. Do you understand? Whenever I hear them doing this askar. That means what? That means Ibn Abbas himself was not in the mosque. Or he was not in the congregation, isn't it? If he was in the congregation, he would know that the prayer is finished when it is salah, isn't it? So for him to say that I used to know that they are finished, that means that at times he may miss the congregation. Alright, so but if he's coming to the mosque, if he hears the takbirat and all those things, he knows that the prayer is finished. Do you understand? No. So what he loves him in another wedding. The ma kunna na'rifu inqita' as-salati Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam illa bit-takbir. So we did not used to know that the Prophet has finished the prayer except by the takbir. Alright, what he means by takbir here is the zikr. Takbir here does not mean Allahu Akbar. Alright, takbir here is means a zikr. Okay, because the azkar that is recited after salat is not takbir. Alright, there's no takbir in it. Because so when he says takbir here, it is using it to refer to the azkar that are recited after the salat. So scholars say that it's possible he was not part and parcel of the congregation, and it's possible he is far behind, such that he may not hear the voice of the Prophet, but by the time he begins to hear people ahead chanting the azkar, then he knows that the Prophet has said salam. Alright, these are the two explanations that scholars give, because Abdullah ibn Abbas was a very small boy, alright, till the time the Prophet died. Okay, the salat, it's not even obligatory upon him because he was not even mature. He was just around 13 years old when the Prophet died. Do you understand? So it's possible he misses the prayer at times, and it's possible he comes when he's far behind, and so he will only know that the Prophet says salam when he hears the companions chanting the azkar. Okay? But scholars say, when the companions chant this azkar, they do it individually, not in chorus. Okay, not in quorum. Okay, they do it individually. However, like I explained in the last class, for the purpose of learning, for the purpose of teaching, the imam can teach the congregation the various azkar, and they can recite it congregationally till everybody in the mosque has become used to it, then they recite individually. So for the purpose of teaching and learning, it may be permissible to recite quorum. Allahu Akbar. Now, the next hadith says, An Warraj, Mawla al-Mughirati bin Shu'ba. Warraj is the slave of al-Mughira bin Shu'ba. Qala, he said, أملى علي المغيرة بن شعبة في كتاب إلى معاوية He said, Al-Mughira bin Shu'bah, my master, Amla Aliyah, he dictated to me. Right? So he dictated something to him. He kitabin in a book or in a letter for him to, that he's going to write, Ila Muawiyah to Muawiyah. Al-Mughira bin Shu'bah was the governor of Kufa. Kufa was a town around the side of Iraq. While Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan was in Sham, the area around Syria. Okay? He was the overall leader of Muslims at that time. So he appointed Mughira as his governor over Kufa. So there was a time he sent a message to Mughira telling him to tell him about any hadith that he must have heard from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Mughira now wrote him this letter to tell him about one hadith that he had from the Prophet. So what did he say in that letter? أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقول في دبر كل صلاة مكتوبة that the Prophet of Allah used to say at the end of every obligatory prayer. What does the Prophet say? لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. Alright, there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah alone. لا شريك له. He has no partner associated with him. له الملك. To him belongs power and dominion. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ And to him belongs all praise. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ And Allah is capable of all things. The Prophet will continue by saying, اللَّهُمَّ لَا مَانِعَ لِمَا أَعْطَيْتُ Oh Allah, nobody can withhold what you have given. وَلَا مُعْطِيَ لِمَا مَنَعَ And nobody can give what you have withheld. So all provisions are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah wills to give you anything, nobody can stop you. And if Allah has decreed that you will not get something, no matter what you do, you will not get it. So everything is in the hands of Allah. When we seek for provisions, we seek from Allah alone. So the Prophet says, لَا مَانِعَ لِمَا عَطَيْتُ وَلَا مُعْطِيَ لِمَا مَنَعْتُ وَلَا يَنْفَعُ ذَا الْجَدِّ مِنْكَ الْجَدُّ Alright, the Prophet said, وَلَا يَنْفَوْ ذَا الْجَدِّ مِنْكَ الْجَدِّ Meaning, ذَا الْجَدِّ is somebody who is wealthy, a wealthy person. جَدُّ, his wealth will not benefit him in your presence on the day of judgment. That's not the statement. Meaning, everybody will be called to account. Whether you are Mr. President or Mr. Governor or you are Mr. the richest man in the world. You cannot come before Allah and say, oh Allah, give me a preferential treatment because I'm rich. Alright? Allah will not listen to you. Or Allah, give me a preferential treatment because I was the president, but I was one of the world. Allah will not give you that preferential treatment. So your wealth alone cannot benefit you anything in the sight of Allah. Your wealth will only benefit you if you use it for the sake of Allah while you are alive. You will understand. That's the meaning of Allah and Farouz al-Jaddi, Ninka al-Jaddu. ثم وفدت بعد ذلك على معاوية. He said, thereafter, he took his letter to معاوية. Then after some time, he said, I traveled in a delegation to معاوية. فسمعته يأمر الناس بذلك. I heard him commanding people to also do this supplication after their prayer. وفي لفظ, in another word, from this hadith, فكان ينهى عن قيل وقال. Alright, Al-Mughira bin Shu'bah also added in that letter that the Prophet used to prohibit. كان ينهى عن قيل وقال. He used to prohibit, you know, false statements. That's not قيل وقال. Meaning, you know, in our pidgin language, we say what? They say them things. So the Prophet used to prohibit this kind of story. Okay? So person said this. That person said this. I heard that they said this. Alright? Statements that are unconfirmed. Okay? At times you say, who said so? You cannot even tell you who said so. You get it? This kind of story and news. Spreading this kind of information is prohibited in Islam. Alright, so the Prophet prohibited that. There were ida'atil mal, okay, and also wasting money. Okay, the Prophet prohibited wastage. So when people go to occasions and they bring money and they need to throw money, alright, and you see them dancing, matching money. The same money that some people are looking for to buy food, but they cannot find. Alright, this is ida'atil mal, wasting money. But Allah has prohibited wasting of money. Okay, it's haram in Islam. So, وَكَثْرَةِ السُّؤَالِ And too many questions. Okay, too many questions that are of no benefit. Okay, this is also prohibited in Islam. So وَكَانَ يَنْهَا عَنْ عُقُوقِ الْأُمَّهَاتِ. The Prophet used to prohibit disobedience to the mother. Okay, disobedience to the parents generally is prohibited, but disobedience to the mother is even more prohibited. Okay, it's worse, because the right of the mother over upon her son is greater than the right of the father upon him. Okay, so that's why the Prophet mentioned the mother. So it is prohibited to disobey our parents, especially our mothers. In other words, what is banat? Also, the Prophet prohibited the act of burying female children alive, as was the practice during the Jahiliyyah period. Okay, during the Jahiliyyah period, they had no value for female children. So whenever a person, whenever a female child is born to a person, he goes to bury that child alive. Allah told us in the Quran, وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْثَى ضَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَذِيبٌ. Allah says, whenever one of them is given the good tidings of the female child that has been born for him, ضَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا, his face will become black out of worry and sadness. وَهُوَ كَذِيبٌ, he will be in serious grief. It will not stop there. Allah says what? يَجَّوَارَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ. Because a female child has been born for him, he will begin to hide himself from people. Just as if something graceful has happened to him. So he'll be hiding from people. يَجَّوَارَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ. Because of the evil of what he has been told. So this information that your wife has given back to a female child is like an evil information. It's a graceful one. So he begins to hide from people. And then he begins to doubt. Allah says, أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَى هُونٍ أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ. He begins to wonder, should I keep this child in disgrace or should I bury this child in the ground? Allah says, أَلَا سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. Evil is what they decide, because they used to decide the later one. Right? They finally decide to what? To bury the child. So Allah says, evil is what they decide to do. So the Prophet prohibited this practice. In other words, وَمَنْعِنْ وَحَاتِنْ. Okay, Christ prohibits وَمَنْعِنْ. مَنْعِنْ meaning prohibiting a right that is due upon you. That's مَنْعِنْ. You have money, it has reached the quantity of zakat you refuse to give. Alright, so you are prohibiting a right of Islam upon you. Okay, or you refuse to give zakat when you have to give. Or render assistance. That's greediness. Your hand is very tight. This is wrong. Wahatin and greed. You want to gather everything for yourself alone. Okay? That is money. So the one with you are not ready to redeem. The one in with people, you want to collect it by force also. Because you want to be the one that is in charge of everything. This kind of attitude is haram in the Sharia. So these are the things that Muawiyah wrote and sent to Al-Mughira bin Shu'bah wrote and sent down to the king at that time, that's Muawiyah. Okay, so this hadith shows that as a ruler, you should always consult scholars, okay, for guidance. Okay, and once you are giving guidance about any practice, you enforce it and command people to do it. Because as you can see, it says, "Summa waqfatu ba'da dhalik ala Muawiyah." فَسَمِعْتُهُ يَعْمُرُ النَّاسَ بِذَلِكَ. I hide in commanding people with this same hadith. Okay, so leaders are supposed to consult scholars, and whenever they have been guided, they are supposed to implement what they have been told. Now, continue. Stop. Because of time, the Muslim will stop here. We'll stop here, inshallah. We'll continue in the next class, next week, inshallah, God's willing. Whatever we have said at the time, may Allah reward us for it. And whatever we have wrong, may Allah forgive us. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If there are questions, I will entertain questions before the salat, inshallah. No. If they will leave it, all right. You know, the problem is that this kind of people are adamant. So, once you find this kind of people, if it's possible to enlighten them, all right, if they will listen, you enlighten them, all right, it's dawah, and Allah will reward you. If you are able to guide them and they are able to accept and change, you have a great reward. Right. So it's good to enlighten them using wisdom, right? Using wisdom and knowledge. You get it. If they will be willing to go through this kind of book, right? All they are reading in this book are authentic hadith. So let them read it and see. These are the kind of askara the prophet used to do. So you tell them that if you love the prophet, then follow the practice of the prophet. Love of the prophet is not just be on the tongue alone, right? It should be in practice. So we pray Allah will guide all of us. It's good to try to enlighten them now. Oh, it's bad. All right. So, Sula. Sorry, let this one start. Now.
So, I have to remove the
message. Oh. With him.
Yes. Don't ask. Thank you for the budget. I believe most of us here now. I don't know whether it is when the first prayer or when the prophet is that's one. Then the second one is starting to complete the reading in Arabic or the Arabic. There are a lot of people that when you say Arabic and Imam, you will keep the reading. I can't Imam, Salam.
So, no. Concerning the first question, what I advise people is to get a smartphone, all right, and download this app that shows the times for Salat. All right, the smartphone will guide you and give you the time of prayer. Except. Relying on the mosque around today is problematic because a lot of mosques are not conscious of the time for prayer. All right, they are not conscious of the time for prayer. You see, I have an app in my phone now. If you check the time for Fajr, okay, the time for Fajr, it's showing 5:29 a.m. Okay, 5:29 a.m. Okay. But you may find that some mosques will not call prayer till maybe 5:40. You get it? And that's problem. Now, if suppose you want to fast, and you say you are following this mosque, so that means you commit to eat till 5:40. When Fajr is already out, and you don't have the fasting. You understand? So that's why, except if we are sure that there is a particular mosque, they are conscious of this timing and they change it as to change it. Because it's a mosque, the time is permanent, irrespective of the season. The same time they call prayer for all. This is wrong. Time changes. As the season changes, time changes. So if the mosque is conscious and they change their times of prayer accordingly, then one can rely on the mosque. Alright? When they call the second, you know, the Sufi prayer has two calling of prayer. Alright? So the Fajr is the calling of prayer for the second one. Okay, it's the one they call the prayer, the second one, that's when the Fajr is out. So if they are monitoring it well, then you can rely on the mosque. But otherwise, get a smartphone and use it to, this smartphone, to some extent, approximately they are accurate. Right? Approximately, like this one, this particular app I have, it shows me the location of where I am. Alright, if I'm in Lokoja, it's telling you I'm in Lokoja and this is the timing. Alright, Just yesterday I was in Abuja and it was reading Abuja. You get it like that. So it changes wherever I go. You get it? I can tell you the time for all the places like that. As for the second question, yes, those people who pray with the Imam after the Isha, for example, during Tarawih, as soon as the Imam prays with and says Salam, they will not say Salam, isn't it? They rise up and add another rakah. It's because they don't want to make that rakah their own last rakah. Alright? These are people who have the intention of still waking up at night to pray Tahajjud, and therefore they will make their wudu to be the last one. You get it? So, it's not a problem, alright, if they do that, it's not a problem. But it's better for them to just pray the Shafi and leave the wudu totally. Not that the Imam will say Salam and they still have to stand up to add, when actually they have not missed anything with the Imam. So it's better not to do that, but we will not say it is wrong. No one. Now, I think somebody was asking here before something. No. Yes, it was narrated from a number of companions, not just Umar, other companions. This particular practice was narrated from a number of companions, right? From a number of companions. That's why when I quoted that hadith, the hadith of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, alright, like I told you, the Malikiya school of thought and other scholars who do not agree, they believe it is what it's mawqu, alright, it's just opinion of some companion. Because they believe it's opinion of companion, including Umar, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, and some other companions like that. Because, so, in any case, I am not saying that it is not permissible, alright, I mentioned their view. Because mostly what I do here mostly is that except in cases where the difference of opinion is very clear, this is wrong, this is right, I will tell you this is right, but where opinions are both acceptable, I just mentioned all opinions, right? That's what I do mostly. So this opinion is recognized. You get it, the opinion that you can play just one record alone without proceeding with anything. It's a very recognized opinion in thick, alright, it's recognized. Come on. Time to call the prayer. Now, the calendar that the timing chapter of what they call the timing committee chapter, something like that. They are doing their best, all right? They are doing their best, and these things are their focus, all right, which they do at the beginning of the year, all right, and they forecast it for the whole year, and they break out. You get it? They are approximation. You get it? They are approximation. The weather may change in any of these days, all right? The calendar will not change according to the weather it is. The calendar for us is printed. But I am not saying that the calendar is wrong. Because what I'm saying is that these things are approximation. Because anything can happen at any day. You know what I'm saying? Even the one on the phone too, you get it, will not say that it is 100% accurate. Alright? It is also approximation. Alright, but it can be also 95% accurate. You get it. So if the difference is not more, difference of 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes is manageable. You get it? But where you have a mosque calling prayer, 5:40. You understand? And this one is saying 5:59. The gap is much. You get it? And you will observe by yourself. A mosque that will call prayer 5:40 and maybe pray 5:50. You will see that by the time you finish that prayer, the weather is the sky is already becoming bright. You know what I'm saying? So that means that they had delayed the prayer a lot. We read in this same hadith, in this same book here, that the Prophet of Allah used to pray. The Prophet said that they will finish prayer without them even recognizing each other because the weather is still dark. Was that what we read in this book? Yes. So that's why delaying is too much. All right, it's a problem. You get it? So 5:29, 5:30, 5:32, 5:33 is still within the same range. All right. So when you check the application and you look at the time on the calendar, if the variation is not much, they all can be accommodated. But if the variation is much, then it's better to stick to the app because the app is giving you day by day. Unlike the calendar that has been forecasted from the beginning of the year till the next year. And anything can happen within the year. Do you know what I'm saying? Now, one more word. That's all I can say about that. The one that is suitable to your body. The most important thing in the prayer is concentration. You know what I'm saying? Some people, if the passes are too long, alright, their brain will be roaming about. Especially if they are not the one that is reciting. Alright, they just sound like this, I'm waiting. Alright, they wouldn't just be tired, they're just waiting for them to just do that like this. So that they come home. You get it? You get it? So it depends on the individual. When the imam is leading, the imam should be considering. Alright, look at the congregation, which one can they bear? But if you are praying alone, you decide for yourself. Do you understand? If, because sometimes reciting too long, because it can distract you. You get it? So if one is going to recite longer verses, then it's better to shorten the rakah. You get it? And if one is going to be reciting short surah, then it's better to increase the number of rakah. You get it? So, but you choose the one that will make you to be able to concentrate more on the prayer. That's the most important thing in the prayer. Allah. Yes, sir. Imam wants to ask. Now. He's coming to finish the Quran. So he's going to stay very long. No. Stay back at home and pray. That's it. know that you cannot withstand the pressure, you will not be able to stay, then you pray at home. Not a problem. Right? You can pray at or Tahajjud at home. It's allowed, inshallah. It's all the obligatory prayer, all the five obligatory prayer. After each obligatory prayer, this is the start of the prophet. Mala, you wanted to ask for some more? Jabari Akbar? Take a go? So, Nella increases knowledge. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.